Hello. You are listening to Stirring the Pot on Voice of Vashon 101.9 FM, right here on Vashon Island. We're broadcasting from the Jean Bosch Studio in our beautiful downtown. This is a place where we have an elbows-on-table chat about all things food, travel, family, and Vashon. I hope you can pull up a chair and join us while we meander through today's show. I'm Linda Nygaard, and I'll be your host today. Sitting with me in the studio is my co-host, Celine Demire. Hi, Celine.
Hi, Linda.
Glad to see you.
Good to see you, too.
And along with our intrepid engineer and color commentator, Heidi Skrypek.
Hello.
Hi, Heidi. Hi. We have a special guest today, too, Liz Ophoven, owner and proprietor of the wine shop on Vashon. It's Wine Shop Vashon on Vashon.
Yep.
Hi, Liz. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
I'm so glad you're here. We'll be talking with Liz a bit later in the broadcast to find out what makes her tick and how business is going. And we might even learn a little bit about wine. Of course, we'll learn about food and vacations. But for now, let's get caught up on what's been going on. Celine, I know you've been really busy with your summer comings and goings, all of which have involved food and travel and family and what's been going on. Tell me.
So let's see. We sent our exchange student back to Germany, so we're missing our
Ida. That was a sad day. She was lovely.
She was very sweet. Yeah. And so we're already missing her. Mm-hmm. So I have been working with Journeyman. So I would like to let our listeners know that Journeyman has some summer camps. So if you have some boys in your family, grandboys or sons, and you are looking for some camps. Journeyman has upper elementary, middle school, early high school, and late high school camps. There's also a new offering for girls, which is called Wild Camp. And so you can find all of those on journeyman.us. Journeyman also has Instagram page. It's very active. Good. So if you're not following, please follow, as well as Facebook.
So tell us what Journeyman is.
So Journeyman is a wonderful organization in our community that helps young boys find their gift to this world. Helps them find their unique, what they can offer, help them with leadership. And it's an amazing, amazing organization.
I've heard really wonderful things about it. Yeah, that's great. Are you cooking for them?
Yes.
Yeah. So what kind of food do you cook for the Journeyman?
So they have a Wayfinders camp this week, and I am volunteering to cook. It's simple for the early upper elementary school kids. We're doing meatball subs or meatball over spaghetti, salads, and some ices. Let's see. I think that's it for today. And then Thursday, I'm also cooking for the same camp, and it's going to be gyro with some rice and pita, more salad, and cookies.
Oh, that sounds good. I bet they love it.
Yeah. I hope so. Yeah. I hope they'll love it. And if anybody else who would like to help, they can contact journeyman.us or send a message from Facebook or Instagram.
Okay. Yeah. Is it a national organization?
No.
It's a Vashon-centric.
It's a Vashon-based, yes.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's a Vashon-based. Mm-hmm. Everything they do is in this community. But that doesn't mean that you can't send your kid from somewhere else.
Exactly.
I mean, we have lots of grandparents here. Grandparents, if you have your grand boys in here, this is the perfect camp.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that sounds like a really rewarding cooking journey for you.
Yeah. It makes me very, very happy.
And Liz, I suspect your summer's been really busy.
Oh, my gosh.
You got busy business, and you have some new things going on at the wine shop that I'd like to hear about. You've got some special events that have come up and some new menus, and you now have your patio open, right?
Yeah, we have the patio open, and we've been booking a lot more music.
Yes, so, I noticed that.
Yeah, we've had a lot of the local bands come through mm-hmm. and looking for a spot to play. Mm-hmm. And it always helps us because more and more people want to come out. We do like to keep like a night or two open mm-hmm. without music so that, you know, friends can come in and sit and chat and mm-hmm. there's not a crowd. But sometimes we fill that place up. Yeah. And it's mm-hmm. so fun now because we have like the courtyard, which is an intimate space. Mm-hmm. It's pretty small, but the tables are small and it just feels right for mm-hmm. like a local hangout spot. Mm-hmm. And it's brought so much more energy to that little district even mm-hmm. that even when there are no bands, people are hanging out there. So it's
for
nice.
Those of you who don't know, the wine shop sits in a sort of cloister of mm-hmm. of little mm-hmm. shops and other things. So there are other interesting things to do when you're there and kind of wander around and
yeah.
have some wine. And
it's, you can go to yoga. You can get your hair cut.
In the village.
Yeah.
In the village. In the
I want to give props to Liz because one thing, you know, that's been through a few iterations and mm-hmm.
it was the
pub, and then Mika took it over for mm-hmm. a while as kind of a barbecue joint. And then you took it over, and the biggest difference, I mean, environment matters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's what you did to the interior, and I don't know what kind of investment you put into it, but I do know that, you know, when you walk in, before it felt like I'm a food person, and you know, I cannot stand places where you sit down and it's gosh darn uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels brightly lighted with overhead lights. Big yeah. pet peeve of mine. Seating is uncomfortable and it feels like eat it and beat it. Mm. This does not feel like
no.
that.
Mm-mm.
And you walk in and it's like, I'm home. I want to hang here. Mm-hmm. It's cozy. You do really thoughtful food items. It's not too much food. It's not too little. You won't leave hungry. And you have all
yeah.
these like pairings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's just a place you want to be. It's dark inside now. And it has like kind of more focused environmental lighting.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it just is like, oh, it's
and
just
couches. A big I love the couch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know,
the seating.
Yeah. The seating's
sure.
fabulous.
So
yeah.
it just like hats off.
Yeah.
Because it is
Thank
like
you.
A place that isn't going to go away.
Ah,
it is not going to
no,
go away.
No, I don't think it's going to go away either.
That makes me feel good.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm sure it
yeah,
does.
Yeah.
yeah.
I should be doing
yeah.
a Yelp review, but this is my Yelp review.
Yeah, well, we can do that. We can do that.
Feel
that
free. Sure. Yeah, that's a good topic, but we'll get to that one another time.
oh, yeah.
Just sure. quickly, the investment
yeah.
I made was
yeah.
basically an investment of my soul.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
okay.
Very little money. I'm yeah. a scrapper. Like
okay.
I pulled that together.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Good for you.
Way
wow.
to do it. Way to do it.
It's a whole different place. I mean, you don't even, it doesn't
yeah.
even, when it was the pub or Mika's, it was just what it was.
Yeah.
But this feels like you're walking into a whole different world.
Yeah.
It's a whole new place.
I was averse to going.
I know you were. I remember.
She brought me in and I was like, oh my God.
Yes.
She's pointing at me. Later.
yeah. It happened. No, yeah. or just like of all the places on the island, it's probably mm-hmm. the one place I really want to go hang at.
And you can just go there with a friend and hang out. The hangout factor is excellent.
Not that you don't
stay as long as you want.
Okay. I mean, you know, buy some wine
we'll
for
spend
God's
money.
Sake.
Yeah.
But I mean, you feel like somebody at the next table isn't listening to everything you say.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And you can stay as long as you want. You can have dinner. You can have mm-hmm. a glass of wine. You can, you know, just have yeah. an appetizer and no wine. It's just a really mm-hmm. nice place. Thank you for being here.
Way Ooh. To go.
I'm really glad
Sorry.
You're here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
She's
honestly.
Levitating.
I did everything I could to attract you all in. I was like, what do they want?
Yeah. It worked.
Who can I be?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
So what new exciting menu plans do you have for the next week or two? Do you change your menus every week or every day, or how do you do that?
I know. Well, the idea is to not change it that often, but
okay.
I can never not do it. So
I was going to say, you know, the first event that I did there was a very small event. And Liz and I came up with a menu together, and mm-hmm. it was a beautiful menu, which I absolutely loved. And we brainstormed and talked about what we want, what would work, what wouldn't work, yada, yada. And so we got there for the event, and it was like,
Liz, what have you done? And it was huge. She said, well, it just couldn't help it. We had to have this and we had to have that too, you know, because it was a creative endeavor for her. And it was really beautiful because Liz then takes what you want and adds her perfect touch to it. Maybe you get things you didn't know you wanted.
Well, yeah, once I get to know, like, what your taste profile is, I'm like, ooh, I bet she'd like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have a little extra of this this week, so I'm going to put that together. So it does start like that a lot. If we have some ingredients that aren't on the menu or maybe we get them from the farms or whatever, we'll try to pull it into, you know, in the winter, into a soup or maybe now a salad or put it on the cheese plate. Try to keep it simple. But I like to make all of our sauces and dressings and things like that from scratch. And so the menu changes a little bit right now every week. But we do like to keep like at least the core of it to be the same. So,
yeah, I've noticed that. And there's some really interesting kind of side dish things that you're doing. You know, it's like you can tell it's this will be here for a minute, but we're probably not going to do it tomorrow. And I like it that you're so focused on local as well as seasonal. That's really important. I watched a video the other night on PBS about groceries and local and how important it is and what a terrible footprint non-local produce and everything uses, you know. And here on Vashon, we're so fortunate. We have all those little farms and all the organic produce you can possibly want, especially now. It's fabulous. Speaking of which, Heidi, what's going on with your garden?
So being pulled into the driveway to bring pudding, and I was like, do not leave without taking oregano for the love of all that is holy, please. So I came out with a lot, like big old chopper loppers. No, she was grabbing it by like handfuls and holding it while I...
It smelled so good.
Yeah.
So good. Just driving home was just incredibly wonderful.
It was the correct kind of oregano.
Yes, it's the Mediterranean oregano. We had a big discussion, Mediterranean oregano versus Mexican oregano and how different they taste. And they smell very different. And we love the Mediterranean oregano over Mexican oregano.
But I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Come to the good side. Well, I mean, I think the Mexican oregano is good too. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's just different. It's very different.
Yeah.
It's a different smell, different taste.
I think the Mexican is more piney.
It's punchy.
I mean, it's good. I use it. I mean, you can't find Mediterranean very easily, at least in my world.
And the quick note of shame that the rats near my chicken coop found my broccoli, my cauliflower.
Oh no.
My broccolini.
Did they eat it all?
Cord to the nubbin. Gnawed to nothing. So I've left them in the ground in hopes that they'll start side shoots.
They probably will, but how are you going to prevent the rats from coming back?
Oh.
You have your ways?
I invested.
Okay, we won't talk about that then. Not to worry.
Yeah, it's happening. All right, so that's what's up.
So that's what's up. Yeah, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, darn it.
I mean, I need to come get some dill.
Oh, hurry, because I'm yanking it all out.
Me too.
Are you? Okay. I'm going to get some dill.
Absolutely. Happy to share.
Linda, what have you been up to? I think you were traveling, weren't you?
Well, not really traveling. No? I was in Des Moines, our Des Moines, Seattle, to stay with my kid's dog for 4 or 5 days while they went rafting on the Umpqua River in Southern Oregon. And it was a big deal for them. It was a 5-day trip, and they got, or four maybe, I don't know. But it was setting up camp every night and undoing it in the morning and getting in the raft and going farther every day.
Oh my God.
Rapids and the whole thing. So they had a really good time. And what they said when they got back was that it was really wonderful to be disconnected for that long because there were no phones. They couldn't have, and there was no reception anywhere. So I spent a few days in the city, which was kind of fun.
Yeah.
The most fun I had, I think, was I went to the farmer's market and I found the most incredibly delicious homemade yogurt that I have ever had in my life. And it's a company called Crème Delice, D-E-L-I-C-E. And it's a European, it's a cute, huh?
I'm sort of, my mind went to lice.
Oh, stop it.
Sorry, I was 12.
Delice. Oh, I get it.
Crème Delice.
I would never have thought of that. Heidi, you're so bad.
sorry.
It's a European style yogurt with kefir. And it's only sweetened with local honey, and it's so good. And then they have different flavors. They have just a honey yogurt. I had to buy a whole bunch of them. And they have matcha and pistachio and cherry and fig and mango. And they make it all from fresh fruit and fresh nuts and fresh. I mean, it's no flavors, you know.
Yeah,
it's not a artificial mango flavor. It's so good.
Yeah,
and you know. It's a probiotic powerhouse with the kefir in it, especially. So, again, it's Crème Delice, and they are online. They don't have a website, but you can find them online. And they go to several farmers markets, but they're not commercially available in the stores. Mm-hmm. So you got to go to, you know, some farmers market over there. You have to suffer and go.
Going to farmers markets are fun.
Isn't it fun? Yeah. I love it. I just love it. I'm talking about having to suffer by leaving the island.
Oh, gosh, yes.
You know, that's the big suffering point for all
I heard we're getting the third boat. Oops, that was
I hope so. I hope
so. I think it's already here.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it still a ghost or is it
it's
real?
It's on the schedule.
Okay.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Oh, good.
I didn't know that.
And other than that, I'm deep into cherry season. You know, and we're almost out of cherry season. So I weep a lot when cherries are gone because I can eat them by the ton and cook with them. And one of my favorite things to make with them is cherry gazpacho.
What?
Cherry gazpacho? Mm-hmm.
It's so good. It's just, I made it for the first time last year and I served it at a brunch and it was, people wanted the recipe and it's just, it's wildly delicious. And the good news is you can make it all the time because you can use frozen if you want to, but I don't.
Do you use cherries or pie cherries, sour cherries?
No, regular. You want like Bing, like
the Bing.
Dark, the good dark cherries.
The sweet cherries.
You want a sweet dark cherry.
Okay.
And it has, it's got oregano in it and it's got tarragon and it's a weird, you read the recipe and I'll give it to you, it's a weird recipe that is really delicious.
Interesting.
So, and then I found out today, I didn't know this, that every cherry tree produces 7,000 cherries. Average.
In their life? Or each year?
Each year.
Wow.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
7,
that's a lot.
7,000?
That's a lot of cherries.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know where they see those cherry trees, but anyway. And then the other thing I did that I really want to tell you about, because you'll appreciate this, Celine, is I went to a Mexican market in Kent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called La Central Tienda Mexicana y Taqueria.
I've been there.
Have you? Mm-hmm. Oh, my Lord. It's huge. And I've been there several times, but I haven't been there for a couple of years. And I've missed it because they have a bakery with all of that wonderful Mexican bread. They have a whole meat counter with butchers back there that cut to your specifications, along with several custom-made kinds of, you know, like birria, you can buy it already made and then just go home and cook it, you know, brown it and cook it. And then they have homemade tamales, big, huge, I don't know, 25-gallon stainless steel containers that are full of homemade tamales of all different flavors and kinds. They even have them wrapped in banana leaves.
The best.
Yes, those big giant ones. So I had to buy a bunch of stuff there and bring it home and put in the freezer.
Oh, yum.
I'm just picturing you with a trunkload of food and these yogurts and hummus.
It was. And nuts and cherries.
They have a house.
She's
too.
Off island.
But one of my favorite things is their bolillos, B-O-L-I-L-L-O-S, which is it's that sort of torpedo-shaped bread. It's white bread. It's crusty, crusty, crusty on the outside, and the inside is a little bit sweet. Not really sweet, but they use that for tortas.
I was going to say, I taste the carne asada in there with some avo and some onion, and we're rocking. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my big score there was passion fruit puree. which I've been looking for a long, long time. And you can't find it here anywhere unless, well, it was there. So that's, I use that to make a passion fruit pie, which is sort of like a lemon meringue pie, but it's passion fruit. It tastes completely different. It's so good.
Yeah.
So when are you making that?
I'll let you know. I'll let you know. And then as far as actual cooking goes, I made some apricot chicken last week, and that was really good. And that's just, it's chicken and browning your chicken, and it has onions and chicken stock, a few herbs, and then you puree the sauce. So you roast your chicken, puree the sauce, and then put the sauce on the chicken when it's almost done. And that was, that was really good.
Do you roast the apricots in with the chicken?
I know. I was thinking, does it go under the skin? It's just an over.
No, you don't roast them. You don't. You don't. Yeah. I guess you could, though. That's a good idea.
That would add a
It would add another level of flavor. Yeah. It would probably be really good. Yeah.
It really would.
So you can. And so that's it. Was that enough?
That sounds fantastic. Yeah.
Time out. Time out.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Topped me.
So Liz, we're going to come back and chat with you a little bit about your business and what you've been doing in your vacation. But for this moment, we need to take a break and thank our wonderful sponsors.
Voice of Vashon thanks Windermere Real Estate for its support, making our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at WindermereVashon.com.
Support for Voice of Vashon is provided by Palouse Winery. Award-winning wines are available for tasting on their covered patio noon to 5 Friday through Sunday. For private event inquiries, to see the music schedule, or to make a reservation, visit PalouseWinery.com.
And we're back.
Hello, everybody. We are with Liz Ophoven in our studio downtown Vashon. And we had to thank our sponsors. We couldn't do it without you, and I hope you'll keep sponsoring us through these kind of rough times we're having, raising money, and just please continue, and thank you so much.
Thank you, sponsors.
Yes, thank you. So, back to Liz. I'm eager to get to know you better. I know you kind of on a professional level, but I don't know much personal stuff about you. So what brought you to Vashon, and where did you come from, and how long have you been here? And tell us a little story about that.
Okay, sure. So I moved to the area in 1997.
Okay.
So I lived in Seattle and sort of grew up there. I got married, had my kids, bought a house, bought cars, all that. And then I was ready to do something a little bit more career oriented. A couple of years ago, I started looking around for a place to open up a cafe in Seattle. And the rents were way too high, way too high.
Yeah.
I'm starting from scratch with no cash and no supplies and no inventory, no idea. And how to do it. A lot of ideas.
But a lot of spirit.
One of my longtime friends started the wine shop Vashon, and she was ready to throw in the towel and go back to her career.
Okay.
So Julie, she said, I think you should take over the wine shop. And I was like, really? I was kind of thinking something a little bit more like art bar. And she was like, all right, well, think about it. And so I spent a couple of months thinking about it. And for me, thinking about something means I like get up in the morning, have a cup of coffee, and open a deck of tarot cards. So I pulled a card on that thought every day, and every single card I pulled was like, oh yeah, girl.
You better go.
You're going to Vashon.
There you go.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I did. And Julie was like, hey, you know, we can work it out, whatever you need. Just get on in here. And I had some business experience for the last year, for the year previous to that. So when I got into the space, I wanted to open it up to pouring a glass of wine so people could stay a little longer and we could hang out. That's where the food aspect came in.
Okay.
And so for the first year and a half, I commuted every day. And then I rented a little spot out here. So I'm out here like 3, 5, 6 nights a week. Mm-hmm. And my kids are teenagers, so they're still hanging out in Seattle with their friends.
Yeah.
And this is my job now.
Okay. It's like, awesome.
I love it here so much.
I'm so glad.
Yeah. Yeah. This isn't just my job. It's like my whole world.
Now you're home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really am.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
What is it that you like about Vashon?
The people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love when I first got here, somebody came to buy some wine and I couldn't figure out like how to use the POS machine. I got really nervous and I was like, I'm so sorry. Like I'm fiddling around, like I don't know how to work anything. And that person, I think it was probably Benno.
Mm-hmm.
He was just like, what are you talking about? Like he stood there probably for 15 or 20 minutes, just wanted to chat. And I was thinking, wow, okay, this really is like island time and I can just slow down a minute. And I love that.
Yeah.
So I like just dove straight into that. Like, let's get to know each other. Mm-hmm. Let's hang out. Mm-hmm. I want to hear everything about you. And, you know, that's what I love the most.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly.
It's hard not to love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't have the tension around like Seattle does.
Oh, right. Yeah. Where nobody really wants to discuss anything.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, speaking of people from Vashon, I know that you're friends with Dre from Gravy.
Yeah.
And I've seen him in there. And like Heidi says, she sees his car in front of your shop all the time. And Dre, for those of you who don't know, is one of our community icons, really. Mm-hmm. He's a good spirited, fabulous chef who owns a restaurant with his wife, Peppa, called Gravy, and their food is outstanding, beautiful, wonderful food, and he has a heart of gold. And so I'm wondering, I know that he's in there and you're chatting all the time.
Yeah.
Is he helping you learn? Is he teaching you? Are you learning things from him?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. We'll talk about ingredients sometimes and ideas, but I ask him a lot of questions about like how to.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I don't do a lot of in the shop is cooking meats, but I love to know how I cook them at home. And so
I see
he does a lot with cooking meats and I love that. But Dre and Peppa were some of the first business owners to come to the shop after I opened.
They
sat down and did a tasting and said, listen, if you ever need anything, I know it's hard to start out here.
Oh,
you can just like come and tell us, like if you run out of something that we can help you with, just pop on over. And so I kept that in mind. At first I was like, what would I
really
need from a restaurant?
Did it happen? Has it happened?
Oh yeah. Well, okay. Now I have a restaurant license. I operate as a restaurant. So,
yeah.
But you didn't before.
No, I had like a retail license.
Right. Uh-huh. Right.
One of the things that is hard for a small little operation like mine to do is to get food delivered. There's a minimum.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and I
sure
usually can't reach it.
Mm-hmm.
So for our like pantry stuff, I'll like piggyback on their orders.
Okay.
So that's been super nice for me. I'm just like, could you just throw in like a bag of beans or
an
something?
An extra thing of other, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's been a way for us to get to know each other. So I pretty much just like pop over there, go grocery shopping, and we do a little bit of like trade this, that. Do you have that? Yes.
That's wonderful.
It's been
really cool.
So helpful.
It's really cool. I did notice one time when I was in for an event that we held there that Dre was in the back helping plate, which I just thought was great. Oh, wow. We're back to our roots, Andre.
Well, I was struggling. So.
I know. Well, it was not apparent at all that you were struggling. Your son was there too.
Yeah.
And what was his name?
Taylor.
Yeah. He was great. He was great fun in there. I loved getting to know him a little bit.
Yeah.
So you recently returned from Italy.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
You want to tell us about your Italy
trip? Did I ever? Yeah, absolutely. So I went to Italy with a group, to go to Vin Italy and do a wine tasting. It was a food and wine centered, extravaganza with a group of around 8 to 10 to 12, maybe 15 rotating people. There was a core group from Vashon that went.
Okay.
And the group was planned by Mike and Liz, who own Solea. They import Italian wines.
Mm-hmm.
And so I buy some of their wines for the shop. And it was really cool to have an opportunity to go and meet the winemakers.
Oh, yes.
And to get to sit down with them and talk and learn about their entire, like, what are their ethos and how do they make their wine and where did they start? And to literally be able to taste their entire book of wine.
Wow.
Which was fabulous. So Vin Italy is an enormous wine tasting, like, I don't even know that right.
Where in Italy is it?
So that was in Verona.
Okay.
I flew into Venice and spent like 3 or 4 days there.
Mm-hmm.
Had so much fun. Immediately going out everywhere and met up with the group and we're having the, you know, I don't know, 7-5 bazillion course meals, tasting wines. And then we go to Verona and the group stays in a lovely villa outside of town. So we got to hang out in the morning with each other and talk about, you know, the day before, and we got to hang out late at night and stay up and maybe have a little
more wine.
It
sounds like a wonderful learning adventure, too.
It was incredible. It was incredible to really deep dive into Italian wines. It was an extremely unique experience. And for me, I'm super visual and tactile. And so you can tell me anything you want about this wine and that wine. And I remember a story, a place, what it tastes like, who was there, what it smelled like.
Yeah.
So that really locked it in for me. And as a matter of fact, I did bring some Italian wine.
Well, you know, I'm seeing these bottles sitting over there and I'm wondering if they're going to just sit there.
I know.
It shouldn't.
I've been waiting for you to say that.
Did you have a favorite wine? You just can't, I bet. All of them, yeah.
I tried for like a couple of years to have a favorite, like, you know, Barolo. Of course.
Yeah, well, delicious. Of course, yeah.
And I was like, you know, I'm pouring the wine. So
I can hear it.
We can all hear it. Thank you.
You did it. I love white wines now, you know.
And I'd like to say to our managers out there that we are setting our wine on the orange stools. They are not on the console.
That's right.
So don't worry about any of that. So what are we tasting here?
This is Vespaiolo. And so this is...
Say that again slowly.
Vespaiolo.
Biolo, okay.
Vai. So Vespaiolo is a wine made from the indigenous Vespaiola grape.
Oh, my.
And it's made up of the word Vespa.
Oh.
Which means hornet.
Okay.
Who love these grapes. Oh. They love this wine. And it's also, you know, the name of the scooter, which is super cool. So
the scooter is a hornet.
I guess
yeah,
so. Kind of
like, yeah,
exactly.
So cheers. Have a sip. What do you taste?
Okay, so the reason why I said just a little, I'm not a big white wine fan, but this is so...
I'm telling you.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I was like,
Because surprise.
Like, white wine.
Wait a second.
Wait up.
What you tasting, Heidi?
It's a nice dry. It's not super duper dry, but it's pretty darn dry. I would love this really cold because I'm weird like that.
Yeah.
It's like if you, it's got a little bit of Chardonnay grape essence to me, but it's much more green than
it's greener.
A Chardonnay.
And no oaky Chardonnay taste
all. I mean, there may be some oak, but it's not like Rombauer smack you across the face oak at all.
I don't even want to say it because I'm such an amateur, but there's a little caramely kind of warmth in it.
I feel that warmth on my tongue. It's like an almond with skins kind of.
Kind of, yeah. It's delicious. It's really lovely.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That is
good.
And so, of course, now that I've tasted way more wines than I ever thought I would in my lifetime... I do love white wines too. There are so many. They're rich. They can be creamy. They can be like silky. They have salinity. They can have body. They can be like super light. There's just, it's almost anything that you would want. But the thing is that a lot of, you know, places that you go and restaurants and things like that just stick with like, they're like, whatever, you know, let's just get this price point and get a Chardonnay, a Pinot Grigio.
A Sauvignon Blanc and call it even.
Right.
Right.
But sometimes those aren't good.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's such a miss, too, because there's so much good wine out there to drink. So you don't have to be so just hard-lined about having XYZ just to tick the boxes of having the popular categories when there's so many. Like, this is summer.
Yeah.
It tastes like summer. It really does taste like summer. And Celine, I used to have the same thing as you in that I just preferred red wine and wouldn't even look at white wines.
Yeah.
Until I tasted a name I can't remember, but it was an Italian white wine I tasted. And it was like, oh, that's a whole new world.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I'm not an oaky Chardonnay. Don't please don't feed me that. But this is really delicious, and
it really is.
Well, we're going to be pouring it by the glass at the wine shop.
Are you?
I'll come visit.
Good. Is it available now?
It'll be available tomorrow.
Oh.
When we open,
we might have to make a date. Oh yeah, are you closed today?
Yes, we're closed Monday, Tuesday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we got that straight.
I mean, we could have an after party. I'm not opposed to it.
Well, that's always a fun idea.
That's so good.
It's really good. Love it.
Nice.
So let's finish this taste. And in the meantime, I would like to ask you a few questions.
Okay.
This is getting to know you kind of thing, too. A little on the lighter side.
First questionnaire.
Uh-oh. Yeah. And then I want to talk, Celine, I want to hear about your pudding that too. We haven't talked about that yet. So this is our little, we have a little quiz here that we do with every guest we have. And I have to admit, I kyped the idea from a podcast I listen to that originates in England. And I just think it's really fun. And we ask the same five questions to every guest that's here. So what's your favorite way to eat a potato?
Oh, you know, it's French fries.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, come on. You can do anything.
Yeah.
Mayo.
And do you dip your French fries in anything?
Yeah, like a mayo.
A mayo?
Yeah.
Okay.
She and I are best buddies now.
Yeah,
are
it's you? Happened.
Yeah. It's happened.
Extra salty.
Yeah, yes. Extra salty. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And crispy on the outside and creamy on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What's your favorite way to eat an egg?
Oh, gosh. Well, it's a toss-up between soft-boiled and, like, medium-poached.
Oh, my God. I think you and Celine were separated at birth.
Yeah, nice. They might have been.
It's getting freaky.
Well, my new best friend.
Yes. Yeah,
my favorite, too, is soft-boiled. I love soft-boiled eggs. Mm-hmm. If it's done right, there's nothing like it.
So true.
And then what's your favorite ice cream?
Flavor. I know, right? So chocolate fudge brownie used to be my favorite. But then I was got sensitive to dairy. So now I do chocolate chip cookie dough by Frankie and Joe's vegan ice cream.
I've never tasted that.
It is incredible.
Is it creamy?
Yes, it's super creamy. And it's like a regular pint of ice cream is what, like $5, $6, $7?
$8. No, yeah.
Frankie and Joe's is like $14. And at first I was like, whatever. Like that's, and then I just kept looking at it. I'm like, but why is it $14? And because it's really, really good. It's not like soy milk whipped up. It's, I don't know, cashew milk or something. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Yeah. Interesting. I've never, and is it like
it's a local woman owned business. And it's made in Seattle.
Oh,
They have ice cream shops like at University Village. Frankie and Joe's. See?
Yes. They had a beet strawberry ice cream there.
Beet strawberry? Beet
strawberry, and there was something else in it. And I was like, oh my God, this ice cream is so good.
So good.
Because I'm sensitive to dairy now.
Right.
After a certain age. And
should we just let them take over the show?
I like it. I'm entertained. I can just sit here. I'm good.
But I mean, have you ever thought about putting beets in ice cream? And
I
you don't even taste the beets, but the color of that ice cream was incredible. And in the flavors, it was so good. Even my husband, who doesn't care for vegan ice cream, he loves his Ben and Jerry.
Yeah.
He loved their lavender blueberry pie.
Jeez, I'm serious. Yeah, and
It's
all gluten free too. Which I know this is kind of nerdy.
Yeah. I'm waiting to fly away.
Oh. The weird thing is that I fell in love with that ice cream, and then I found out that the woman who runs and owns the business lives right across the street from me.
Oh my goodness.
In Seattle.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Wow. That's interesting. So small world, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What's your favorite herb?
Cilantro.
Is it?
I love it.
That's a love-hate relationship, isn't it? You either love it or you just can't stand it.
I keep looking for those people that can't stand
it. Oh, I know several.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh.
I know several.
I'll eat it in a, if it's in a salsa, I'll eat it, but I would never buy cilantro to use it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know. Isn't that amazing? Like I knew that. Yeah. I love it. I love it, too.
I love it, too. I love it in a broth, and then I love it on top later. And
I prefer Italian parsley.
Two different animals. Oh,
yeah.
Completely
they
different
are different,
animals.
But that's what I will substitute with.
Nice.
Interesting. Yeah, I like it, too. Okay, the last question is, when you're tired or crabby or not wanting to do anything, what's your favorite go-to meal at home?
You know, I love to make a quick broth, so I'll have like a base in the fridge and throw in a few herbs, including cilantro, and throw in some gluten-free ramen in just a little saucepan
and have some
make
soup.
A nice little hot bowl of soup. Super fast, like 10 minutes.
See that? But you already have the broth made.
Or I have the base.
Or you have the base.
Right.
Okay.
I used to always have a bone broth going in my slow cooker, but now that I'm like in two places and I work at a restaurant, I don't have that situation happening, so I've relied on the it's like a better than bouillon.
Oh, I love that stuff.
Oh,
I love that. I'm not so crazy about the beef one.
Yeah, me
but
too.
I like the chicken one. I think is a miracle worker
really good.
Anything. I just think it's wonderful. There was a time I discovered it years ago, and there was a time when I was using it, and I thought, I'm not telling anybody.
I know.
I'm not going to tell anybody I use this. And then people would rave about the broth, and I'd think, thank you. And finally, it just got to the point where I thought, I can't not say this, you know. And now most people are familiar with it and using it. And it's really, it's a wonderful addition. If you don't know about better than bouillon, they have turkey, which is it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not a turkey fan anyway. And they have mushroom now, which is really good.
I gotta try that.
And roasted.
And let's try another thanking our sponsors.
This portion of Voice of Vashon programming is brought to you by PSCCU, proud to be Washington's Green Credit Union, practicing socially responsible banking by supporting sustainability, job creation, local economies, communities statewide, and our environment. Learn more at psccu.org.
Can't do what we do without our underwriters, like Vashon Market IGA and Vashon Plaza, one block west of the main highway, where you can find everything your family needs, from fresh produce to kids' specials, legendary meats, wine, spirits, and movies. Open daily from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m.
And we're back.
Hello, everybody. We're talking with Liz Apphoven in our studio in downtown Vashon. And we're just meandering around a lot of different subjects. And right now we're on the subject of what her favorite things were. And we're finished with that. So let's go on to Celine. I would like to talk. Celine made some pudding. I mean, she calls it pudding. And I looked at it and I thought, well, that doesn't look like any pudding I've ever seen in my entire life. So, Celine, what is this concoction you've made that is so delicious? It's so good.
I'm so glad you liked it. So it is called achure.
Achure. Do you want to spell that for us?
It's A, S with the little thingy underneath. U-R-E. And it is believed to be the meal that was cooked when, after the great big flood, Noah's Ark landed on the Mount Ararat. And then so everything that they could find in the ship, they made a meal. So it is believed to be the gratitude for salvation and gratitude to create abundance, because wherever you will eat achure, and anywhere in, I think the Turkey is the only place that I'd mix this. I don't know if other countries make it. It tastes different. Because I grew up in a neighborhood that everybody would make it in our with our neighbors, and then everybody would share one bowl with each other. And then every single recipe would be different.
So the woman next door would bring you a bowl, and you'd take a bowl across the street, and everybody trades a bowl of this of their homemade pudding with for somebody else's. And so that reminds me a little of like the Italian gravy that they make, you know, or the Italian spaghetti sauce. Everybody's got the best recipe and everybody's is a little bit different.
Yeah, it's different.
So what all is in this? I know that it has an extensive list of ingredients.
The one that I have has 21 items in
it.
So the base is with pearl barley, garbanzo beans, cannellini beans, sweet corn kernels, rice, dried apricot, dried fig, raisins. It's gold and regular raisins. Zuns, I don't know what Zuns currant means, but currants.
Currants.
Toasted pine nuts, almonds, blanched almonds, pistachios, unsweetened coconut shreds, cinnamon, clove, hazelnut, honey from Heidi's.
Heidi's honey.
Heidi's honey. Sugar, water. And I also, this is the first time I made this, I have a sweet rose tulsi tea at home. So I steeped that very strong and I added to add that little sweet rose taste to it. So it just cooks pretty much on the slow cooker all day long. And it just, everything kind of melt into together. It's like a puddingy.
What makes is there something in there that makes it thick, or
it's barley? The barley makes it very, very.
And do you think you could substitute something for gluten free, like rice? Would that work?
You can just make it with rice and not put barley in it.
Just don't put any barley in it.
I would think so.
Because rice tends to, right, like risotto or something, it gets creamy.
Because that has that creamy, it does make it a little bit thicker too. So, yeah, it's interesting. Several years ago, I haven't made this in years. Several years ago when I made it, I had 41 ingredients because determined to hit that number 40.
Yeah.
So I had 41 ingredients. But it is very different.
I really love the
meaning behind it. It's all about gratitude. It's all about community sharing. It's being grateful for what we have. And my husband was telling our friends who came over this weekend, and I was sharing it with them too, because it goes like, it's like the pantry soup. It's almost like pantry soup. Whatever you have in your pantry, you just make it. So that's why everybody has their own versions of a shure.
Oh, that makes sense.
It's wonderful. Yeah. Well, Heidi, you tasted it. What was the verdict when you had some?
I definitely got the cardamom. You were describing.
Not
cardamom.
Clove. I have clove.
It was clove. No, it was sharper than that.
Cinnamon and clove?
It must have been the cinnamon, but it was sharp and herbal. But it wasn't too sweet.
Yeah, it's not too sweet.
Yeah.
At all. It was just but as you ticked off the ingredients there, that is not an inexpensive treat to make. Those nuts are expensive.
They do.
But you know, they all have, I mean, I just put like a handful of them.
Okay.
Because when you put like a little handful of it, it does come out to be really large. I mean, I didn't buy
a little handful of all those ingredients.
Handful of each ingredients. And I think the most amount I had was the barley was the main thing. And it's and in Turkey they make it sweeter.
Yeah,
I was just telling you that earlier too. I know Linda goes like, I wish it was sweeter. She loves sweets.
No,
it's my husband said the same thing. Believe me. He was like, it's supposed to be sweeter, and I'm like, no, I like it that way.
Yeah,
that's really nice.
Well, it's your recipe.
You can do it anyway.
And
right?
So, how is it served? I mean, I know with the tradition of trading and sharing, is it within the meal? Do you serve it as a dessert, or is it a snack, or how?
You can eat it at any time.
Okay.
Some people like it eating right out of the fridge, cold, and some people like it at room temperature.
Okay.
So I have been eating it in the morning for breakfast.
It's really good.
It's perfect, you know?
And healthy.
It's healthy.
I really like it. And you've been very generous too. You know, you've been showing us gratitude by giving us the pudding.
So
and
grateful.
I'd like to say I have gratitude for you too. It was really delicious. Thank you.
I'm so glad you liked it.
And so Liz brought some food too from the wine shop.
I did.
You want to tell us what you brought? We're going to post a recipe on our Stirring the Pot website.
Sure. I brought.
Not website. Facebook page.
Nice. Yeah. Keep it simple. I brought a clementine cake slice with a few sauces. And this is a super easy and delicious cake with four ingredients.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. She looked at Celine.
I'm liking
four.
This.
With four
yes,
ingredients.
She was looking at me.
Not 40.
Four.
awesome.
I'm just kidding, because the sauces actually. So without the sauces, there's four ingredients. But then
oh, wow.
Those, you can, that's all optional.
That's really cool.
And it's gluten-free.
Yeah, yeah. So this is an adapted recipe from Nigella Lawson.
Okay.
And the clementine cake is an almond flour base.
Okay.
With sugar, eggs, and cooked clementines or mandarins mm-hmm. or small orange mm-hmm. with not a thick rind.
Mm-hmm.
You can cook the oranges for several hours in a pan or pot, or you can microwave them.
Oh, microwave.
Microwave.
Or put them in your Insta thing uh-huh. for yeah. like 30 minutes. But they have to be completely mushy.
Do they dissolve kind of? Does it make a saucy? I've never roasted oranges like that.
I know, yeah. They look the same, but when you touch it, then it's just like turns into like a melty marshmallow kind of thing. And it's not dissolved, but mm-hmm. the minute, you know, you mm-hmm. throw it in the blender. I put all those things in the blender and then pour it in a cake pan.
And that's it.
Wow.
Ta-da! Like 4 or 5 eggs, 2 cups of almond flour, 1 cup of sugar, and 5 clementines.
And no baking soda, no salt.
Oh, yeah. There's one more ingredient.
It's 5 now.
A little bit of baking soda.
Yeah. I would think that I think you would need a little bit. Yeah. Okay.
No salt. No
okay.
salt.
It's wonderful. It looks beautiful.
Well, we can taste it.
I think we should taste it. Right now, we're tasting some new wine.
Yes.
And this one is red. Do you want to tell us about this one?
This is an Italian red wine. It's from the same winemaker as the Vespaiolo. This... it's Contrasuarda winery, and they're like an organic, sustainable, family-owned, kind of reclaimed land winery in Italy somewhere. So see, this is where my memory goes.
North of Italy, it says.
Well, it's in Italy. It's northern Italy.
Yeah. No, in the north of
Italy. In the north, okay.
Yeah. Not north of Italy, in the north of Italy.
Like, where are we? So this is called Musso. Musso means donkey.
Oh.
And they used donkeys to do a lot of the labor to make these wines. And this is a blend of Marzamino, which is an indigenous red grape.
I've never even heard of these grapes you're talking about.
I know, isn't it fun?
Yes.
Marzamino. And Merlot. So mm-hmm. you've got Merlot.
Oh, I love Merlot.
And in this case, like, what I love about these wines that we've tried, like, they're growing the wines that work in that region. They're indigenous, and so... Luckily, they're still working in that region, but a lot of regions where wines are grown or grapes are grown are struggling because of climate change. So being adaptable to mm-hmm. either going back to your indigenous grape or adapting to a new grape that might work better is a more sustainable way of farming and producing wines. And so mm-hmm. I like that. So I do focus a lot on that.
It's very good.
Like at the shop, for sure. So what do you taste?
Well, it makes me want a steak.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
It's a strong wine. It's got a bit, it's mm-hmm. bold flavored. Mm-hmm. Not as bold as Barolo, but and it's got a little sharpness to it. It's a sharp, I feel it back in my ears when I drink it. What do you think, Heidi?
It's opened up a lot in just, from first just to second. And it's shocking because that vintage on that bottle, it says 2020. And you could have fooled me. I would have thought that was 2024 vintage because it could just sit in a decanter and really open. And it changes a whole bunch.
And see, now that I've tasted it again, after it's been sitting, it's a lot smoother.
Exactly.
It's a lot smoother.
It's wow. Like, it got bottled up real fresh. Mm-hmm. Like it just needed some time to open up, but mm-hmm. it's really quite good. I like it. It's, I don't think it hits you over the head. It's not too peppery. It's kind of smooth. Mm-hmm. It's pretty easy drinking.
After it's mm-hmm. aired. Cause my first sip was not smooth.
No, I got mm-hmm. a lot of tannins on the front at first, but now they're gone. It's not just the alcohol talking.
Yeah.
So I guess that's good advice to people who order it.
Absolutely.
You know, let it, let it breathe for a minute.
Give it a swirl or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, give it a swirl or two. Yeah. And it's a favorite wine of so many people that come to the wine shop because we pour it by the glass. So we open the bottle at the beginning of the day.
Okay, so it's airing. Yeah.
And then we're pouring it all day, and it just gets better and better and better. But yeah, you can just swirl it around in your glass. Mm. And I love that because it's alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it changes just like we do, you know? And the night goes on, things get a little smoother.
Such metaphors happening here.
So tell us about...
It's what she's got written on the blackboard over there at the shop, too.
Yeah, that depends. It all depends, doesn't it? How do you decide what wines you're going to order? Do you have an intuitive instinct about that, or do you rely on advice, or how does that work for your shop?
Well, it's a combination of things, mm-hmm. for sure. So I get to speak with lots of wine reps every week.
Sure.
And part of it is like what is exciting mm-hmm. and interesting and mm-hmm. something new that people haven't heard about. I like to introduce people to like exploring wine, and it is a wine tasting place. So let's really like mm-hmm. have some fun and try some things that you haven't heard about, but that are really good. Mm-hmm. I love the trends, you know. I love to do like a skin contact wine or an orange wine as well. Mm-hmm. And then it's really who comes to me. I'm busy, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I have a lot going on, and I want to do as much as I can. But if the wine comes to me and is set out in front of me where I can taste it, I'm going to buy one of those.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure,
for the shop.
Sure.
Because it's right there. And another one is like if I choose wines based on like the ethos of the importer and and the personality of the distributor and the rep.
There's a lot to that, isn't that?
Yeah, because there's good wine everywhere.
Yeah.
So if you're friendly and like we're getting along.
And trustworthy.
Yeah. And I'm like, so tell me about this wine, you know, and and so that those win. And also what the customers have said they loved. And they've gotten to know a lot of the wines that we've had over the last couple of years. So they're like, when are the Three Otters coming back in?
Oh.
And, you know, we loved that one wine from Turkey. Like, when is the Calcarossi coming back in? Mm-hmm. And so then I like call my rep or send him a text real quick. I'm like, do you have that yet? And like, can you send me a list of, you know, your Mediterranean wines? And,
interesting.
You know, so it's not a method necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's probably more of a madness.
And do you have a wine background? Is this a new learning experience for you?
Yeah, this is new for me.
Is it?
Yeah,
well, you're just doing wonderfully with it. I can't believe it. You sound like an expert from a long time ago.
Thank you. I have a restaurant background.
Yeah. I thought you did.
That includes wine.
Yeah.
But not to this extent.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's been a crash course.
Yeah.
It's been great.
How are we doing on time, Heidi?
We're good. What resonated with me was when you said you went to Vinitaly and what stuck in your head. It was the there. It was the kicking the tires and the tactile and the sensory and the story.
Yeah.
Like the real story.
Yeah.
Not the BS stuff that happens so much. And when I walked in here and before we started air, I was telling you I used to work for a very large wine company. And so often you just see this marketing speak. And I am a senior copywriter. And it pained me deeply to not be able to peel the layers of the onion and get to the real, let's talk about the people who came over the border from Mexico and they're the sweat and the blood of your vineyard.
Yes.
And the starting point of this wine. Yeah. Like, let's talk about those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, that totally hit me in the heart because it's totally what matters.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I believe it too. That's the heart and soul that goes into things. And it's the important part.
You know, speaking of that, tell me about the donkeys that make this wine.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I don't know all their names, but there are four.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
There are four that live on the property and they do all of the hauling of the heavy stuff.
Oh, sure.
And they go up and down the rows and load up their little packs and carry some barrels around, you know?
Well, I read an article once about where donkeys were like, they have the women that, or the men and the women, I guess, that mash the grapes with their feet. And that there were donkeys that were leading that circular thing.
Oh, I'm sure that's yeah.
I mean, you know, they're not. Do they really
do
that? I don't
know the name of the circular thing. Yes, I believe they do.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty cool.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't know the name of that circular thing either, but it mashes the grapes and it goes around and around.
Right. I can see it in my mind.
I have it in my
like
mind
wooden.
Too.
Yeah.
I'm very visual, right. But I can't think.
Grapes inside.
We're all doing the circular motion in the studio. Yeah. Everybody's doing it right now.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to seeing you again, Liz. Thank you so much for being with us. We're out of time right now, but
already?
I just thank you so much for being here, Liz. It was really fun. And thank you, listeners. We'll look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
See you soon.